Later 30-somethings may think, Bono did not invent the model. Three decades ago, one-time Beatle John Lennon was writing songs like Give Peace a Chance and Power to the People. The music and the man were adopted by the anti-Vietnam War movement in a way that turned Lennon's life upside down. A new documentary, The U.S. versus John Lennon, details those years and the Nixon administration's quarrel, almost obsession, with the musician's potential political clout. Tim Riley says the film conveys the political tensions of the era without stooping to sentimentality.
Among the more tragic aspects of John Lennon's assassination back in December of 1980 is the way his mythic status obscures some finer points of his career. Everybody knows the famous Beatle made solo records, became a house husband, and retired from music for the 5 years before the release of his last album, Double Fantasy. But not many people remember how politically active he was for the 8 years preceding that sabbatical. Filmmaker David Leaf, who's best known for Smile, his profile of Brian Wilson, puts a microscope on Lennon's political activity in the late 60s and early 70s. Leaf's new film, The U.S. versus John Lennon, draws some unsettling analogies to George Bush's War on Terror. Leaf insists these analogies are subtextual.
What we're doing is we're telling the story of John Lennon through the prism of his art and his and Yoko's campaign for peace, and there are undeniable parallels in terms of how power reacts to a threat. And that is really the key issue is what do presidents do in times of war?
For starters, Lennon didn't just wake up one day and turn political. Like most of his huge audience, he was radicalized by the Vietnam War. As early as 1965, he denounced the war at press conferences. Leaf's documentary shows how Lennon's political awareness grew from a respect for what his audience was thinking and feeling. In the fall of 1968, his song Revolution, the B-side of Hey Jude, caught the frenzy of a horrific year, which began with the Tet Offensive, the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy, the student riots in Paris, and the Soviet Union's march on Prague. Things heated up that summer as the anti-war protesters clashed with police outside the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. In the movie, Ron Kovich, the Vietnam vet from Born on the 4th of July, talks about watching the scene on television.
I was with several paralyzed veterans in a room at the Bronx Veterans Hospital on the paraplegic ward. And I remember we were watching the convention.
Mr. Chairman, most delegates to this convention do not know that thousands of young people are being beaten in the streets of Chicago.
Perhaps John Lennon saw the clubs coming down on top of the heads of the peaceful demonstrators. And perhaps John Lennon had tears streaming down his face that night, as I did too.
John Lennon is remembered as a peacenik, but Revolution actually disappointed the radical left. As early as 1968, they argued that nonviolence was inadequate to strong-arm police tactics. But the song's passionate ambivalence conveys what many peace-loving people felt.
When you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can pass me out?
You've got to free your mind instead, Lennon concluded. Even a radical black power intellectual like Angela Davis agrees with the song's nonviolence. I asked director David Leaf about the distinction Davis makes in the movie.
What Angela Davis says about revolution is in the film is that clearly the idea of revolution does not necessarily involve violence. So what she's doing is acknowledging that John Lennon was not wrong to, if he was advocating revolution, that it needed to happen in a peaceful way.
John Lennon and Yoko Ono began to toy with the media by extending their nonviolent resolve. In 1969, they held bed-ins for peace in Amsterdam and Montreal and went on to mount a huge War Is Over campaign. In the movie, Yoko remembers Lennon's ambition.
with voiceover if you want it. I said, okay, let's do posters. And then John said, no, let's do billboards as well in all different cities in the world. Wow. He was like that because his arena of communication was much larger than mine. So he thought of that.
So people said, how much is it? I don't know, but it's cheaper than somebody's life.
That 1970 song is so stirring, it's still on playlists every holiday. Too bad Lennon's music was as powerful as President Richard Nixon's Paranoia. By the time John and Yoko moved to New York in 1971, they began hanging out with anti-war leaders Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman. By then, Nixon was entrenched in Vietnam and began bombing Cambodia. The radicals wanted Lennon to headline a music tour ending in Miami near the 1972 Republican National Convention. Nixon so feared Lennon's influence with young voters, he wanted him deported. Astutely, Lennon kept filing extensions and stayed in the U.S. with his wife. He feared returning to Britain might get him banned from America forever. Leaf shows us streets full of protesters and reminds us that for all Nixon's fear-mongering, the rock audience swelled with hope. The movie delivers a keen sense of cultural payback. George McGovern, clobbered by Nixon's landslide, remembers Lennon by humming one of his popular anti-war hymns.
That's the one that went, all we are saying is give peace a chance. They'd repeat that over and over again. I thought it was wonderful. Give peace a chance. Who can be opposed to that? The administration was.
There's only one major complaint I have about the U.S. versus John Lennon, and that's that there's just too much Geraldo Rivera reminiscing. But there's always too much Geraldo. Lennon's humor and vast musical embrace far outweigh Rivera's camp. The movie places the former Beatle alongside Charlie Chaplin, Paul Robeson, entertainment activists of previous eras who faced many of the same hypocrisies. With Nixon's resignation in 1974, the immigration suit against John Lennon soon collapsed, which took on a cosmic resonance. On October 9, 1975, the day John Lennon turned 35, he was presented with his green card, officially welcoming him as an honored guest of the country. On that same day, his second son, Sean, was born to Yoko Ono after 8 years of miscarriages. Persistence had won John Lennon a new home in New York City and a family to enjoy it with, until his death in 1980.
Imagine all the people living for today.
Imagine. Here now, music critic Tim Riley is also the author of Tell Me Why, a Beatles commentary. The U.S. versus John Lennon opens in selected cities on Friday.
Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again. Here and Now.
Living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, on the web at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.